can't go back and reteach things that I've taught when you're teaching kind of in succession like that. You know what I mean? Like just, it's kind of hard to go back and redo. And so if you've missed some on this teaching that I've been doing the last few weeks on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I just want to encourage you. You can go online to equippingtogo.org or equippingtogo.com. We've got both domains. And you can go in there and pull up everything we've taught for a long time now, actually. And but you can go back in there and revisit some of those teachings and get caught up if you need to. But we've been talking about the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our need for Him in us. We saw last week, He fills us with His power to be witnesses of Him. We also know that He empowers us to live in this world, and He empowers us to co-labor with Him in the earth. You know, I think about also with Peter on the day of Pentecost. I mean, he was the one who denied the Lord, and then after the experience in that upper room and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he went out and boldly preached. I mean, he was very courageous, boldly preached the gospel. And that day there were 3,000 people born again and added to the kingdom of God. And so I'm just saying there's the difference in the power of the Holy Spirit and the importance of Him living inside of us. So we saw the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit. We saw the fulfillment of that promise on the day of Pentecost. He said, this is that God had promised. We saw that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the immersion in the Holy Spirit brought a manifestation of tongues. And the people out there on the streets, I mean, they heard the good news, the wonderful news of the kingdom of God in their own language. They were all there for the day of Pentecost, the celebration of the feast of Pentecost, and they were Jews from all over speaking all different languages and dialects, and they could hear in their own language the wonderful works of God, because when these guys were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues, and these guys were hearing their own language out of these Galileans who did not know those languages, okay? We answered a few common questions. Are tongues for everyone? Yeah, for everyone who's born again. To you, He said, and to your children as well. Have tongues ceased? No, not until Jesus Christ returns. Does everyone speak in tongues? And what I want to say about that is tongues are a manifestation of Him filling you. They are the overflow of Him inside of you. And some people struggle with that. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they struggle with the tongues part of it. And so what happens a lot of times is there's something bubbling inside, but they don't know how to just let it go and release it and just speak it out. That's why I told you last week, go in your bathroom or your bedroom by yourself or something, if you need to, by yourself, you know. Because I felt silly. But anyway, it's just that bubbling up. And a lot of times people don't realize He's been there all along. You just didn't realize what to do, okay? And then the other question was, do you have to have hands laid on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. We saw where some did have hands laid on them and they received the baptism. And then we also saw other places where the Holy Spirit just came. As they were preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And so it wasn't a matter of it had to be this way or this way, okay? He's God, He can do it however He wants to, right? And I think about, why do I need to be filled with a baptism? Why do I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Why do I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, for one thing, it was the desire and the promise of the Father to help us to be born again and to be filled with the Holy, with His Spirit to help us. And I mean, he intended that for us. Jesus stressed it to his disciples in speaking with them and ministering to him. Those who were not just following him, they were disciplining their lives to his teachings and his ways. And he stressed continuously the importance of the Holy Spirit. And of, actually, in one spot in James, John, he said to them, he commanded them, go, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he breathed on them. Then he told them, he said, wait in the upper room for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he knew we needed the Holy Spirit. I've seen believers and was raised up around believers who love the Lord as good as any one of you in this room. They loved Jesus. They served him with their whole heart, the best way they knew how. But they did not know, understand, or even believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was raised in a church that did not believe in that. And these were wonderful people, but I'm going to tell you something. They were powerless people. They really were. It was just whatever came, they just had to go with the flow of it. There was no power in their life. And he came to empower us to be his witnesses, to empower us to live in this world, to empower us to be able to co-labor with him so that the things he did we could do, and not only that, greater things we would do because he went to the Father and the Holy Spirit came. His desire is that we could demonstrate the kingdom of heaven in the earth. And we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. You know, I was telling them this morning in prayer, my mama, when she got older, she got worse and worse with hearing loss, and she could get louder and heavier handed, okay? I don't know why it is like that, but it is. And she would do like this on the table. She said, tell you what, if I'd have known then what I know now, my life would have been different. My life would have been different had I known then. Not just revelation from the Word, but the empowering and the help of the Holy Spirit living inside of her. Had I known what I know now, my life would have gone differently. She wouldn't have gone through some of the things. This is what she felt like. I wouldn't have gone through some of the stuff I went through in the same way that I went through it. And so we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We do. We do. And he is a wonderful gift given to us by the Father. So let's get into some more questions, okay, that I love teaching on this, okay? I started talking to him yesterday about some of it, and I was about ready to preach. He's sitting there like, okay, here she goes. She's on a roll. Because I love to talk about the Holy Spirit. I love to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love sharing about it. I was one of those who didn't know, who wasn't raised that way. And finding out the truth from God's Word is liberating, and it is powerful. It's enjoyable. And when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, he shows up. So I love that. Some of you have sat under my teaching. This is not new stuff to you, but I'll tell you what it does. It re-stirs and refreshes what you already know. You know this, but it refreshes. You know, but it refreshes your understanding and the excitement of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are four different kinds of tongues that I find in Scripture. I'm not going to say there aren't more. I'm just saying there are four different kinds of tongues that we see, different, I say kinds, uses, four different uses of tongues in Scripture. Two of them are really for ministry use, and two of them are for personal use. And so let's get right into it. On the day of Pentecost, if you'll remember, those guys were filled with, it's a supernatural language. It's a language you don't know, okay? It just so happened they were filled that day with what was called different tongues, or I think King James says divers tongues, or diverse tongues. It just means a different tongue, okay, than is learned by you. It's a language you don't know, but somebody else knows it, okay? And like on the day of Pentecost, all those different groups of people were hearing the wonderful new, the wonderful word, the marvelous works of the Lord in their own language. And these guys didn't know that language. So there is that tongue, okay? But then there's also a heavenly language that we don't know. And nobody else knows, but heaven knows, okay? It's a heavenly language. And so when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that first day, you can tell I'm getting excited. So help me, pray for me that I hold on. Hold it together, Joy. Holy Spirit, help me hold it together. On that first day, it was needed for these diverse tongues to be given, because of all the different languages of the Jews that were there, because they were all scattered around, okay? So it was important at that time that they be diverse tongues. In here, we don't need a different language like that, do we? We all speak English pretty well. Most of us do anyway, right? Okay, so the other tongue would be a heavenly language. So number one use of tongues is tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And that's the diverse tongues, like we saw in Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to touch back over it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't know this language. It was only as the Spirit gave it to them that they were able to do it. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. These people have come in now to celebrate Pentecost from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Aren't these all Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia." And it goes on, verse 11, "We hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean?" It was a sign to them. It spoke to them. It grabbed their attention, what was happening. 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to spend a lot of time there, so you might just want to mark it, because I'm going to be back and forth in it a lot. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, the first part of that verse is what I want to look at this morning. We'll look at the other part of it later. "Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbeliever." They are a sign to the unbeliever. Remember I shared with you about, I couldn't remember if it was John G. Lake or if it was Smith Wigglesworth, who went into the train station and just had that unction of the Holy Spirit rising up inside of him, and he began to speak out in other tongues. And what he realized after the fact, that there were two little Chinese girls here at the turnstile who heard him speaking exactly in their, not only their language, but their dialect perfectly, the plan of salvation. One of them knew some English and was able to convey that back to him, and they began talking back and forth. The other girl knew no English at all. But he just shared the message of salvation to these girls. He didn't know the language. He didn't know any of it. He just thought he's wondered why, but was speaking in tongues. I also remember John Bevere sharing about, he was in a meeting one time preaching. While he's preaching, he said, you couldn't hear her. She wasn't disruptive. But in the back of the church, there was a woman back there who began speaking in tongues. He found out about it, so he didn't know about it while it was going on. She began speaking in tongues, and there is a gal over there near her. She's basically preaching the message that he's giving in this girl's language. This girl knew very little English, and somebody had brought her to the meeting. And he's basically giving her what she needed to hear that John Bevere was preaching, but in her language and in her distinct dialect. So that is the first place for the unbeliever to be able to hear the message that God's wanting to speak to them. Okay? Everybody cool on that? The second one is tongues for intercession. Interceding is praying for someone. Turn with me, and you can hang on to Romans 14, but turn with me backwards to to 1 Corinthians 14. Turn with me backwards to Romans chapter 8. My heart goes faster than my mouth can keep up sometimes. Shane doesn't believe that, though. He thinks my mouth goes faster. Tongues for intercession is for personal use, but can also be for ministry use, okay? Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One translation says, groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. In other words, it's another language. Now, I want you to notice, we do know to pray. He didn't say you don't know to pray. We just don't always know how to pray as we ought to in a situation. Isn't that true? And I say that because when I'm going to pray over a situation, say with my kid or something like that, I'm going to pray based on what I think I know, right? I'm going to pray based on possibly my emotions, and my feelings are going to get all up in it, right? But see, what he does, I don't always know how to pray as I ought to in the situation. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered with another language. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what's happening is, if a situation's come up and I need to pray about it and I'm not sure how to pray, I can begin to pray in that heavenly language. And what happens is it bypasses all of this and my emotions, and I can pray the perfect will of God, because he knows. He searches the heart. He knows the perfect will of God and how to help me pray in this. So now I want to also share it in this place as well. Also, there are times when you may have what I'll call an unction or a prompting or a feeling to pray about something, and you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, in the language of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you could be praying for one of your children, or you could be praying for somebody in Zimbabwe. You could be praying for your neighbor. You could be praying for somebody in the Philippines, or in India. You don't know who you're praying for, but as you're praying, you can know whoever it is, he has put that in my heart to pray through me the perfect will of God in that situation. See, if I knew who it was, I would get my mind all up in it. I would. If I thought it was my kid, oh Lord, what's wrong with my kid? And I'd get my emotions all involved in it. You know what I mean? I'm not the only one that would do that, am I? Wouldn't you? Yeah, we get ourselves all up in it. And so by praying in the Holy Spirit, I am actually interceding for this person. This is where it's ministry. The other would be personal. This is where it's ministry. I'm praying for somebody, and I'm praying the perfect will of God for that person. Do you see that? So it just takes the limitations off what I can do. It takes the limitations off what I know. Well, if that's the case, then why don't we pray in tongues all the time? I had somebody ask me that one time. Why don't you just pray in tongues all the time? 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go back there. We're going to go back and forth with that a lot. Verse 14 and 15. Paul said, if I pray in a tongue, he's talking about praying in tongues, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll also pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. So you see, praying in the spirit is important, but praying with understanding is important as well. There's some things you need to pray out of your mouth with your own language and pray through. There's some things you need to find in the Word when you're standing on the Word, where your family's concerned, where you need to be able to declare that Word and pray out that Word and pray out that situation and declare things out of your mouth so that my head can hear it, my heart can hear it, the devil can hear it, and anybody else wants to hear it can hear it, and they can know where I'm standing, right? So I need both. I need both. So he said, I pray with the understanding and in the spirit, and I sing with the understanding and in the spirit. You can sing in the spirit as well. Does that help? One of the things you need to do is if you feel an unction to pray, don't immediately think it's, oh my gosh, it's my kid. Or oh my gosh, it's my husband or my wife. You know, don't immediately go into the fear part. You have no idea who it is. Just go on and pray. Until you feel a relief, you know, like, okay, whatever it was, we're good now. I feel at perfect peace now. Amen? Number third use is for your personal prayer language. And if I've given time enough, I want to go into that a little bit more after I finish covering 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. You don't know what I'm saying. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. To who? To God. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. I'm not going to read the rest of that verse because here's the deal. Paul is going in and out of personal and ministry use, okay? And so because of that, that's why people get real mixed up with this, okay? And so because of that, I'm not going to hit on all the parts just yet, but we will cover them, okay? Y'all with me? All right. So he says, I'm speaking to God. In the spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. And in verse 4, he said, I'm edifying myself. In other words, I'm building up my own spirit man. Your spirit man is the part of you that's born again. I'm building him up. You know, you eat good food and you exercise, right? And that builds muscle, right? Okay, I don't know that real good yet. I used to know it. I don't know it real good now. But it's the same thing with your spirit man. Your spirit man's the part of you that lives forever. You feed your spirit man good food. He feeds on the Word of God. And then you are building him up by praying in the Holy Spirit. You follow that? So, my spirit man needs spiritual food, just like my physical man, and needs the exercise as well. And then number 4, and this is the one that seems to be the most tricky for people, is tongues with interpretation or for the purpose of interpretation, and that's ministry use, okay? And that's why people get a little messed up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 through 5. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, right? But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets so that the church can receive edification. Okay? Now, when he's saying it's better than, it doesn't mean he's a better guy, he's a more spiritual person because he prophesies instead of tongues. He's just saying, he's saying it's better just to prophesy to the people rather than just speaking in tongues, because you're not being edified. If I'm up here speaking in tongues, you don't know what I'm saying. But if I'm giving you a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort, that helps the church, right? But now if I give a message in tongues and there's interpretation, it equals the same thing. It equals the same thing as prophecy, because the interpretation is given. It's kind of like 2 nickels equals 10 cents and a dime equals 10 cents. Okay? So tongues with interpretation equals the same thing as prophecy. They both speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. You know, what Paul's trying to do here is he's trying to bring correction in the church. The church at Corinth, early along, he said, y'all don't come behind in any spiritual gift. I mean, y'all got it going on. The problem is everybody's going everywhere with it all. And it's bringing confusion in the church because everybody. And so what he was trying to do, he didn't want to shut them down. He didn't want to stop the moving of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't want to control the moving of the Holy Spirit. What he wanted to do was bring them correction and understanding so that it could flow better and be of more benefit to the church and to the people. Amen? We've had times when people would give, I really believe with all my heart, and I believe I have witness from the Holy Spirit on this, that what would happen is we would be in a service and they would feel excited and they would start speaking in tongues and they thought, oh, I got a message for the church. But there was no interpretation. They did not have a message for the church. What happened was they just got excited and they began to speak in other tongues. There's nothing wrong with that in itself. But it was not a message for the church. They'd have been better off just to kind of stay to themselves and go ahead in tongues instead of the whole church. Are you following me? That's where people say, well, they're out of order. This is not of God. They're out of order. There's no interpretation. No, they are a little bit out of order. They're just excited. But we're not going to beat them up over it. We just have to learn that, no, that was actually, you got excited in the Holy Spirit. I mean, have you been in churches where there was tongues going every which way and no interpretation? I have. It's kind of exciting, but it's like, it ain't helping me, except it's like exciting, that's all. But it's not benefiting me. But if there is a message in tongues given, and then the interpretation is given, then it's like, okay, now. Why does God do that? Because he wants to speak to his people. So I was telling Shane yesterday, I said, so why would God not just do it all in prophecy? Or tongues and interpretation of tongues? Why both? Okay, so if I'm glad you asked. So if you're at the Food Lion and you feel like you have something for someone, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, that would be a word that the Lord just gave you to edify them, to exhort them, to comfort them in a situation. You don't know about it necessarily. It's just you feel like the Lord's given you something that the Holy Spirit's coming, just welling up inside of you to say, you know, I just feel like the Lord would say to you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's perfect in the grocery store or somewhere, rather than just coming up to a stranger blurting out in tongues. Right? Come on. Are you with me? Yeah, I mean, it's like a perfect setting to prophesy instead. Is everybody following me, or am I just out here having fun? Okay. But you know what? In a church setting, it's a perfectly good opportunity for someone to stand up with a message in tongues and then interpretation of tongues. Because I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll arrest your attention, won't it? Oh, whoa. Wait. Now, God could have just as easily used someone to prophesy and give the same kind of message. Except for this, a lot of times we get so familiar with it. I thought it was just Josh. He just wanted to encourage me, that's all. And we don't realize that was actually the Holy Spirit. God cared so much that it wasn't just Josh, even though that would have been good. But it was the Holy Spirit wanted to say something to you. So sometimes he just arrests our attention with tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now there's another thing. I don't know where any of my notes are anymore. I've been long gone off of them. I think there's another question that people tend to have. And that is, well, how come you hear a message in tongues that's that long and the interpretation was like this? Or somebody gave a message just like this and then somebody about preached a sermon over here in interpretation. Are y'all with me? Come on, I'm seeing folks going, yeah. Okay. Remember this. It is interpretation. Excuse me. Yeah, it's interpretation. It is not, what's the other word? I lost my word. Translation. Thank you, students. It's not translation. Translation is I'm giving it to you word for word. It is interpretation. In other words, the Lord is rendering the meaning, the interpretation is rendering the meaning of what God is wanting to say. Are you following that? Okay. Or did I blow it? Okay. Good deal. Thanks. This was good teaching though, wasn't it? Wasn't it fun? I love it. So there are diverse tongues, which is an unknown language, but somebody else knows it. And then there's tongues for the purpose of interpretation. And that's a heavenly language. Both of these are ministry uses. Both of them are used to minister to a person or to people in a group. Tongues for intercession is personal, but can also be for ministry if I'm going to intercede for somebody else, right? And then tongues, just for my personal use, my prayer language for me to pray in tongues. That's just for my personal use. Everybody okay with that? Any questions before we go forward? Why do we need this personal prayer language? I want to just really focus in on the personal prayer language. Why do we need this personal prayer language, heavenly language of praying in the Holy Spirit at home? Or in my car, or wherever I might be. And you can do it under your breath. You don't have to do it out loud. Do you pray out loud always? Sometimes you might pray out loud and sometimes pray under your breath. You can pray in the Holy Spirit out loud or you can pray under your breath, right? So why do I need this though? Well, we talked about the fact that we're communing directly with God. The devil doesn't have a clue what you're saying. You're bypassing all your emotions, your thinking, all of your limitations, your weaknesses, as he said in Romans 8, and you're speaking directly with God, bypassing everything else. I'm also speaking mysteries to God. They're hidden truths that I don't know. He knows, but I don't know. And I'm speaking those things in the Spirit, it says. And I'm communing with him from my spirit man, spirit to spirit. I'm communing with him. And so all my logic and reasoning and all that is out of the way, and I'm just communing with the Lord. Amen? So it defeats my weakness, gets my emotions and feelings out of the way and thoughts out of the way, keeps them from being involved. And it causes things that are impossible to become possible. Another reason is praying in the Holy Spirit builds my capacity for faith. Jude 20. It's the next to the last book of the Bible. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? But faith comes from out of your spirit, man, not out of your head. That's logic and reasoning, right? Faith comes from my spirit man. Praying in the Holy Spirit causes me to build capacity for faith to grow bigger in me. Does that make sense? It just builds the capacity of my heart for more faith to grow. Makes room. It strengthens, enlarges room for faith. The next one, everybody okay with that? The next one is praying in the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to praise God on a, I'd say a higher level, but I think it might be better to say in a deeper, fuller way. We don't always know how to express our gratitude, do we? We don't always know how to express how appreciative we are of the Lord. We don't always know how to express our love for Him. We don't always know how to express how we're feeling toward Him. And sometimes as you begin to praise Him, then this begins to well up inside of you and you begin to praise Him in a heavenly language. Okay? And what's happening is the Holy Spirit is helping us to express our gratitude, our thankfulness, our love, our appreciation, our praise to God, who's deserving of our praise. But He helps us as we begin praising. He comes along and helps us to praise in a deeper, greater, more fuller way. Are you with me? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit's praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I pray with the spirit, and I also pray with the understanding. I sing with the spirit, and I also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how is he who occupies the place of the uninformed going to say amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? In other words, if I just get up here and sing in tongues, you don't have a clue what I'm singing. Right? How are you going to go, yes, amen? You don't have a clue what I'm singing. And that's what he's saying. You indeed give thanks well, but the rest of them are not edified. You gave thanks well. So in other words, it was a good thing to praise in your heavenly language, in that heavenly language. You gave thanks well. But that's just not the only way we want to do that, because everybody else can't join in necessarily with that song, right? Lest we just all sing with our own tongues, right? Okay, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. Now, as you begin singing and praising in the Holy Spirit, you find that it brings refreshing and rest to your soul. It brings refreshing and rest. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says something in verses 20 and 21, and he refers to a scripture in Isaiah that actually, just let me read it to you real quick from Isaiah 28. Is saying, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak. Stammering lips and another tongue is what? It's tongues. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. They didn't hear it. He was speaking to them specifically, to the Jews, Isaiah was, but he was also prophesying of a day that was to come, and that through the gift of tongues that there would be rest and refreshing given to us. If you've been in spiritual warfare, if you've been tired and weary, if you've been standing for a long time believing God in a situation, or if you've been under attack, under spiritual attack. When these kind of things happen, you can pray and sing in the Holy Ghost and receive refreshing and rest, calmness and peace over your soul. Amen? The next one, are y'all okay? The next one, praying in tongues, reveals or uncovers the hidden counsel of God. Remember in chapter 14, verse 2, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In other words, in the Spirit, he's speaking like hidden things, the hidden counsel of God. And so what's happening is praying in the Holy Spirit begins to uncover and reveal those things. God knows them, but it begins to uncover and reveal those things. Even hidden counsel. We need counsel sometimes that we don't know what to get, what to do in a situation. And you can begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and the Lord begins to unveil and reveal the counsel and the things that I need as I need them. Amen? And then the last one, which this one's really my very favorite, is praying in the Holy Spirit edifies my spirit man. We already talked about the fact that it builds capacity from Jude. It builds capacity for faith to grow. But in verse 4 of chapter 14, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That word edify is to build a house or an edifice. And an edifice is a large, massive structure, like a palace or a large cathedral or something. A big, strong, huge building, okay? So he's saying when you pray in tongues, you're actually building an edifice. You're building a large, massive structure. Okay, so your spirit man is the temple of God, right? Don't we know that? It's the temple of the Lord. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the housing for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. So praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm actually building a massive, large temple for him to dwell in. You follow that? I'm not just enlarging my capacity for faith. I'm actually enlarging the capacity of my ability to house the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. You're building an edifice. And you know, the larger the edifice that you're building, the larger the house you're building, the larger capacity for Holy Ghost to dwell in you or Holy Spirit to dwell in you. His power, his strength, character. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not a mechanical thing. It's a relational thing. Okay? It's me and him. Okay? And he wants us to understand it, not in step 1, 2, 3, even though sometimes we kind of start out needing it that way because we're still learning, especially if you're of a teacher mindset. He wants us to understand, but he wants us to understand it's in and through our relationship. And he wants us to understand the strength and the ability of who this great big God is that's living inside of us. Who is he who's living in me? We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're totally immersed into the power and strength of who he is. That's why he says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Because the greater one's living inside me. That's why he also says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with power and might in my inner man. Amen. And he gave us, with this baptism of the Holy Spirit, he gave us a heavenly language that bypasses my brain, bypasses all of that, and I can speak directly to God. I can unravel mysteries. These things that are hidden away. They're not hidden away from me. They're hidden away for me. Is what the word tells us. I can pray the perfect will of God. I can praise him in a fuller way. I can be refreshed and restored. And the capacity of my heart to house the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit can grow and be built bigger and bigger. And I'm going to end with this verse. 2 Corinthians 13:14. You see, Paul is writing these Christians at Corinth. He's trying to, now this is in the second letter, but he was trying to help them and bring order and help to people who were living in a horribly perverse city. They had come out of some of the most wicked stuff with their worship of gods. Wicked, wicked, perverse stuff. And now they're getting born again and they're all excited, but there are a lot of things they don't know and understand. And so he's trying to write to them and set things in order. And then he writes them the second time as well. He started this church. And at the very end of his second letter, he says, he ends it with this, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Passion Translation says, the precious communion that we share in the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's that's such a powerful place of communing with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. We don't realize that a lot of times. That there's that place of communing with Him. So he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen? So that's my prayer over you as well. I want to know if anybody wants to be prayed for specifically. And it's okay if you don't want to. If you're not ready to, it's okay. We just keep learning and learning and growing and learning and excited about what we're getting. Amen? Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word brings peace to us. It brings understanding. We begin to learn about who you are in such a greater and more powerful way, and we're so grateful for that. So grateful for that, Lord. Lord, I pray that every one of your people would experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that you would just help them if they need help in that area and fill them with the power of who you are. In Jesus' name. Let me say something about that just a minute. It's something that he is someone that you don't have to be afraid. And that was one of the areas that I pray about for us, that people are not afraid to receive, that people are not confused, that people are not overwhelmed, you know, and that there would be a place of learning to just, something's going on. I don't know exactly what, but something's going on inside. And that there would be that place of being able to just say, Lord, I don't know what it is. Is that you? You know? And just cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But it's not to be a place for fear, or a place of, he's just such a perfect gentleman. He's such a perfect gentleman. And he doesn't, if you're feeling resistant at the time, he's not going to shove his way on you. You know, and neither are we. Neither are we. And so, anyway, I want to encourage you in that. I also want to,